Okay, so welcome to the Ninehurst podcast. We're starting off there with an amazing band called Eden Straits. And Pete, you've picked this, and I think it kind of comes from our love of the band Gendo Ikari, who we saw at Dreadfest probably 2019 now. It's getting on for a few years now. Scottish kind of grindcore band. And this is a project set up by a guy called David Campbell, who has sort of brought in people from Gendo Ikari, a band called Munt and a band called Ha. And this is just really intriguing, kind of, I don't know how to describe it. It's so strange. Like, you know, it's got death metal in there. It's got a bit of grindcore, bit of black metal in there as well. It's just a really interesting little release. Like, just two tracks. It's over quite quickly, but it just sounds so exciting and strange.
It does, yeah. It was the, you know, I kind of looked at it from the artwork. It's a really cool, simple, you know, artwork to it. And then instantly noticed that Gendo Ikari link. And as you say, that's a band we followed since we really kind of loved them live that time, you know, however many years ago. And it doesn't sound like that. It's not grindcore, but it's, I don't know. I suppose black metal is the main element in there. To be honest, I don't listen to too much black metal anymore, not routinely anyway. You know, it's just kind of the odd album here or there. And when I do, it tends to be, you know, something, it has to be kind of bold and different. You know, they're the things I listen to now in black metal, if at all. You know, like if you think like the Uyghur Dude album from this year, for example. Mm. And this pulled me in similar ways. You know, it's practically unique. They describe it as dissonant black metal, and I get that. You know, it pushes outwards with a weirdness. You know, it's primarily through the guitars, which are, you know, fascinating. I just thought the whole thing, you know, was immediately hooked with this. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, it looks like they released something just recently as well called The Morrigan. So that was actually out in 2019. So it's quite interesting to see them come back after a few years. Just really, really interesting. I think if you want to hear the whole thing, you can head to edenstraits.bandcamp.com. That was a song called Asp in Apsis. So absolutely brilliant. So as ever, it's the Ninehurst podcast. It's nine amazing tracks that we found by scouring the underground, resubmissions, and just generally seeing what was what's going on, basically. Like recently, like it was Bandcamp Friday, as ever. Seems to be a continuing thing, which is great. I think it's probably into its second year now. So it's really nice to see Bandcamp kind of continuing that, despite their sale as well. Who knows what that will kind of bring. And yeah, it was the welcome return of Hawes that kind of grabbed my attention last week. Brilliant little 4-minute song, just out of nowhere, really. So their last record was Gold in October 2018. For them to come back 4 years later with this is just brilliant. And they hold a special place in my heart, this band, because I've seen them with Big Business, and it was just such a great pairing. And yeah, this is back on form. It's very Melvins. You know, they're sort of, I think they're known for sort of tipping their hat to the Melvins. But yeah, it's uniquely Hawes as well. I mean, I don't know if you're a fan of these already, Pete, but I mean, I know a lot of people hold them in quite high regard.
Yeah, weirdly, the one of the few bands left who are on my list of I need to get into, I need to spend time with, yeah. But I've never got, you know, I haven't got around to it. I know, I've always felt anyway that I would get into them, but just, you know, I haven't, you know, it just happens, doesn't it, occasionally. Mm. What I have heard of them, I've enjoyed previously. People whose taste I trust and are similar to mine, you know, like love them. So yeah, for one, thanks for reminding me. I think this needs to be the prompt for me to go get into, you know, to go back through the back catalog and look forward. Presume I think this is, I'm guessing this is, you know, ahead of a new album, hopefully. So yeah, this, you know, a perfect chance for me to get back into it. You know, it's like powerful noise, right? That traditional fidgety angst of that sound, you know, it's present here, but then it's allied to this serious weightiness about it, which, you know, it makes it dangerous. It makes it something I, you know, really love. And it just confirms that this is a band I need to get more of into my life.
Yeah. I mean, they did used to have that Norma Jean connection, you know, that was kind of right. Like one of their hooks to begin with, I think. But I think the guy who played bass has since left. So, they're kind of a band within their own right now. And I don't think there's any real resemblance to that kind of music anyway here, really. It's more Cave-In style to me. It's kind of like mm-hmm. that big riff style. Really cool stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, I'd recommend Ruiner from 2011 as one of their kind of breakthrough sort of things, but it's all good. It's all really very good. So yeah, if you want to hear more of Hawes, you can go to hawes.bandcamp.com and we can play their new single. This is Imposter Syndrome. That was the return, the very welcome return of Hawes. Absolutely brilliant stuff there. The next band we're going to play is the latest in a series of splits that Ripple Music have been putting out. Excellent sort of label from California. This is Turn to Stone Chapter 4, and it's been sort of subtitled Higher Selves, and it's a split between the bands Saturna and Electric Monolith. We're going to play Electric Monolith from Barcelona for this one. I mean, this is proper... 70s worship, isn't it, Pete? It's proper, like, psychedelic. The guitar tone is so retro and so, like, warm. I was immediately drawn to this. I mean, the Sabbath comparisons are quite easy to make, but I think it's definitely there in spades, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And, obviously Sabbath, but not just, you know, not just Stoner doing Sabbath. This is, you know, it's equally Stoner and classic rock, isn't it? You know, I think on just looking on their own Bandcamp page, not just the Ripper one, and there's mentions of Budgie and Led Zeppelin and things like that. And also in this song, you know, like massive chunks of Hendrix worship in here. You know, it's all out, full on, you know, 70s obsessed, which is great, and that's why I love it so much. You know, going back to kind of the Ripple split series, you know, I love it when labels do things like this. It's something to, you know, keep an eye out and something interesting. We played a tape series from Robust Fellow, which is a Ukrainian label, where they kind of were pitting sludge bands against each other. Heavy Psych Sounds have done a Doom splits, you know, I think 7 or 12 inch series. It's just, you know, they're done, they're created rather than just lumped together, you know, like some splits can be. And that's what I like about it. There was Sergeant Thunderhoof and Howling Giant did one of these on this series, the Ripple series.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we played some of that. So yeah, anyway, it brings, you know, and I wasn't aware of these two bands, and it, you know, therefore it's brought two new bands to me as well. And this, I really enjoy this song. I find myself singing this song, and it's, you know, that kind of that 70s obsession. It feels loving and fresh. It doesn't feel stale like some of the things can do, and it's, you know, so far looking back. I think the vocals are excellent, you know, like reminding me of Stoner Rock's kind of when it was its height at the turn of the century.
Yeah.
Just the whole thing is all round retro stoner goodness.
Yeah, I'm getting lots of Volume 4 vibes from this one. It's very sort of, it's almost laid back Sabbath-y vibes, isn't it? Which is great, because you know, you sometimes get the very sort of plain kind of like, okay, we've listened to the first two or three albums, but yeah, I think Volume 4 has got a bit more kind of melody to it, and I think that's where this comes in. And yeah, just really exciting. Like you say, it reminds me of the height of Stoner Rock, you know, the days of like Dozer and bands like that. Dozer must be a band that we've referenced so much over the last few years, but you know, with good reason.
Yeah.
Brilliant stuff. So yeah, the split is out very soon, I think. So yeah, if you want to check out ripplemusic.bandcamp.com, we're going to play the Electric Monolith song that they've released so far. This is Nightmares. Okay, so that was a band called Electric Monolith, out now on Ripple Music. Brilliant stuff. We're going to a very strange place next, to the world of Homeskin, which you can find at homeskin.bandcamp.com. This is the mind that's behind Gone Mage, who we've played before, who kind of deal in, I don't know, like role play, kind of like fantasy tabletop sort of Dungeons and Dragons style imagery and video game lore and stuff like that. Homeskin is his kind of take on reality, it's billed as, and this one seems to be focused on cats as well as just like really strange kind of themes. Like, I can't really tell what the sort of overarching theme is, but apparently it's dedicated to a cat called Mittens, who's on the cover, which is amazing. Really strange take on like black metal, I guess. They've called it like blackened punk, which I can kind of hear underneath it, and there's a bit of grind in there as well. I just thought this was really strange. The whole record just sounds like this twisted take on the genre, and I just thought it was really exciting. So yeah, we're going to play a track off this. What did you make of this, Pete? Because I don't think you'd actually come across this project before, had you?
No, I hadn't, and it's just slightly surprising actually, because since, I think, you know, from Gone Mage and Sallow Moth and, oh, you know, and the kind of, I'm not a parent band, but, you know, Caronia, who were like an atmospheric black metal band who then did that almost chiptune dungeon synth album. And then Gone Mage, Sallow Moth, and now this have come from members of, you know, of that band. And through that, it's given me an appreciation of dungeon synth and chiptune and similar sounds more than any, well, not just more than any, exclusively, they've opened up to me, you know, really. A sound I'd probably otherwise dismiss as a niche outside my realm, I think is a bit of kind of polite way of putting it. And actually, you know, I really enjoyed listeners, you know, and bands on the Grimestone label and things like that. You know, all of this is, you know, it's awoken something, it's an amazing thing to tap into. And then you find yourself fully invested in gems like this. That being said, you know, this is less of that sound. It's, you know, like you say, there's black metal in there, there's punk in there. I thought there was this kind of weirdo hardcore element in there, which it doesn't go full the locust, but you kind of see it down that dangerous path towards that there. Either way, it just generates this strange sounds, and the whole thing generates a buzz, you know, this electricity about it. And it just, you know, that grabs you. And I'm just happy to hear more.
Definitely. And I think, you know, this guy's so prolific with Homeskin and Gone Mage and everything else that's involved, that it's quite sort of amazing to see the output. I mean, we've picked this record, Each Day Orbital, but in the time since we've sort of picked this and wanted to talk about it, there's been a new one called Old Smoose out. So, who knows when the next one will be out, basically. What's interesting, however, is you can actually subscribe to Lilang Isla and the releases that they're making for $20 a year. So you get 41 of the sort of back catalogue of those various bands, but you also get access digitally to everything that they release each year. So that's incredibly good value. But if you want to buy the existing sort of Homeskin discography, it's only 80 cents US. So you can't really say no to that. There's so much music on offer there. Absolutely amazing stuff, really. So if you want to hear more, you can go to homeskin.bandcamp.com. We're going to play a song called Rooftop Domicile. And if you want to sort of check out sort of like the wider output of this guy's music, you can go to lilanggisla.bandcamp.com. So that was the excellent home skin. Next up, we've got something absolutely amazing. So, Pete, you found this incredible solo project, I think, called Captain Bones and the Droids. I'm guessing you might have found this through Bandcamp Friday, but yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. To me, it sounds like an old 70s Doctor Who episode come to life. It's just amazing. And it's got that kind of kitschy artwork on the front that looks like a 1950s, you know, sci-fi poster. This is just brilliant stuff, like lots of synth, lots of robotic kind of voices. Just really fun.
Yeah, it came out. It came out in November. That's the first thing to say. Originally, it came out from the band's Bandcamp in November, but you know, I didn't find it then, and then it got re-released within the past few days, or kind of put onto the Bandcamp page of a band called Negative Reaction, who I do follow, and that's how I came across it. Negative Reaction were a doom band in the early noughties. I had one of their albums. They did a split with Ramesses. You know, I always liked them, but I haven't heard much of them since. And, I hadn't even thought of them for a while, to be honest. And then this popped up. I'm guessing Negative Reaction have since split up. And this is the output of one of the members who's now doing something completely different. And, you know, it is nothing like you'd expect if you know Negative Reaction from before. But, you know, absolutely loved it. This is the opening track, and it's so much fun. You know, I love how you described it. You know, I think there is that sense of fun about it, and take you back, you know, in that kind of retro sci-fi way. What I really love is that kind of dry, droll vocal delivery, and how that contrasts with the extraterrestrial cosmic noises. You know, it gives you like humanity in the stars feel. And it's got a real easygoing nature. I've been, you know, same earlier, I've been singing on the Electric Monolith song. I've been singing that as I go. I've had this in my head just randomly, you know, at various points throughout the day since I heard it about a week ago. So, but I don't mind, because it is just really nice. It's a, you know, it's a brilliant composition, you know, the synth and the guitar. And it's just, this song is just perfect.
Yeah, complete joy like on display here. So I loved it. So yeah, the record's called Lunar Phases, and I think it sort of bears listening to the whole thing. But yeah, this song that opens it just kind of blew my mind a little bit. Yeah, loads of fun. And I was like, yeah, this is very Pete. This is very sort of us. Perfect. Yeah. So yeah, if you want to hear this, you can go to captainbonesandthedroids.bandcamp.com, and we're going to play the song Moonbeam. We'll be right back. so that was Captain Bones and the Droids. Absolutely amazing stuff there, like lots of fun synth going on. Something that's not fun at all, but still amazing nonetheless, is a project that came out on Bandcamp Friday by a duo called All the Heavens Were a Bell. Really interesting stuff here. So Esme Newman, he's sort of a podcaster and is in a band called Petrine Cross, and has made a record with James Watts from Lovely Wife, who I think are on Cruel Nature Records, from Newcastle. And just, I think it was described as kind of discordant drone, kind of like a bit of dark ambient in there as well. I don't really hear that, but I just thought this was like punishing. And yeah, I just wanted to sort of showcase a bit of pure evil for this podcast, really. So yeah, really enjoyed this. The two other tracks on this are much longer, so I thought I'd pick like a relatively short one, but I think they're all kind of really sort of engaging in their own way. Yeah, Esme does an amazing podcast called Hide From Time, where she plays like sort of sass stuff from the early 2000s, sort of grindcore and sort of weirder stuff that she sort of picked up along the way. So yeah, really worth a listen, like very sort of personal thoughts about tracks that she plays and kind of what it means to her. So yeah, really interesting stuff. And this is, again, just really kind of right on my street. I don't know what you made of this one, Pete, because it's certainly a sort of delve into the doom and the sort of darkness that this music can throw up.
Yeah, well, funnily enough, like, you know, a while back, you know, several years ago, you used to write a lot of kind of reviews, you know, like noise reviews and ambient, dark ambient reviews and things like that. You know, I think you had a strong period when there was a lot of that. And actually, you know, there was some of that on the podcast as well. And it's not, you know, it's not type of music I typically listen to, unless, you know, unless you send it me to for kind of talking about on here. But when you were playing a lot of it, you know, and I knew to kind of tune my brain into the right frequencies to get in the right frame of mind, as it were. But it's been a while, you know, I don't think we've had anything on like this for a while, really. And as such, I wasn't prepared for it. I wasn't aware of the, you know, of that description you're given. I didn't realize kind of members were in Petrine Cross, who I, you know, really like. And then the first time through, I was slightly distracted, but I had it on my earphones. And I was kind of waiting for it. I was waiting for something big and explosive. I thought it was just building up, you know, maybe like a big post-metal riff, you know, which would launch outwards. And only at the end I was like, all right, God, I've just kind of completely engaged with this song in the wrong way. So I gave it the attention. I sat there. And, you know, when you do pick music like this for me to listen to, you know, it kind of pushes my boundaries, gets me thinking of music and of compositions in different ways. You know, it feels the obvious to say, it's haunting music. You know, that's a real kind of obvious thing to say about this type of music, you know, as a whole. But it's hard not to kind of reference that here, I think. It's that, you know, it's got that dulling background noise to it. It feels like, you know, like feels like wind is pushing through your walls, you know, like an into your living room or where, you know, where you sleep or something. And then the minimally intruding voices, you know, that seem kind of subhuman because you can't quite decipher what they're saying. You know, I'm not sure I'll ever fully attach to this type of music. I can't imagine when I would choose to sit down and listen to it, but I can definitely appreciate it. You know, I feel like I understand it a bit more, and I kind of definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, I think like music that's sort of abstract in nature like this, you kind of have to kind of almost place your own meaning on it in a sort of very pretentious way, like you might with, you know, modern art or whatever. You know, you can kind of interpret it how you like. But I think like music like this just sends me into a bit of an introspective like space. And I think this being as brief as it is, I think it's only about 15-20 minutes in total. You can kind of hear they're going straight for the just the large, you know, black cloud sort of sound of it. And yeah, I think that's what I appreciate, really, just the immediate darkness of this. You know, some bands will sort of drag out drones to sort of, you know, hour-long sort of explorations. But I think this kind of, in a weird way, gets straight to the point without doing much, if that makes sense. I don't know. It's one of those things, isn't it?
Yeah.
Definitely. So, yeah, the record's called Still Black Water As Deep As Forever. And if you want to hear it, you can go to alltheheavenswereabell.bandcamp.com. And we're going to play The House Is a Cage. Thank you. Okay, so from the darkness that is, all the heavens were a bell. We're going to go into something a lot more laid back, a lot more kind of atmospheric and in a different way. A band called Ambassador Hazy have got something coming out on Cardinal Fuzz Records called The Traveller. And Pete, we're going to play the first song of this. And yeah, to me, it's got that kind of Liverpool Psych Fest feel. You know, it's like, I feel like I should just be sort of wigging out to some, you know, lava lamp kind of lighting and just taking it very, very easy. I love this. It reminded me of, I don't know if you know the band Ultimate Painting, that kind of really laid back 60s style. You know, it's got like almost like a Donovan vibe to it, like that kind of like flower power, like pop sort of thing. But with that like fuzzy guitar over the top, it's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. Weirdly, you know, I feel inadequately disposed to kind of give any journalistic oversight on what is true psych like this. You know, it's a music that has existed in the, you know, between the mainstream and like permanently burgeoning underground from, you know, for 60 years now, you know, this, and it's still here. And but I've only ever like really listened to it, and you know, apart from maybe the last few years when it kind of coexists with, say, stoner or doom or other genres as well. But then, you know, like in its pure form, when I find something which I love, I fully go in for it. And this is the psych I love. You know, it's a perfect example of that. It's laid back. It's hazy, as obviously the band name suggests. It's happy music. You know, we often reference like Wooden Ships and maybe Dead Meadow as well, which are probably really blatant references. You know, I think the bands you mentioned are probably more specific to this, but there is a point in this, like you say, that fuzz element to it. And, you know, I don't know, it's just cool music. I'm definitely overthinking it. It's just cool music that I could just wallow in for days.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, just reading on, it's kind of like a solo project by a guy called Sterling DeWeiss, who was apparently in bands that I've not heard of, but he said they're obscure, a slew of obscure bands. So we're talking about Heavy Hands, Dirty Rainbow, Terrapin Gun, Madison Electric, and Black Fantastic, none of which I've heard before.
No, but I'm going really to list Terrapin Gun.
Exactly, me too. Yeah, so really, really interesting stuff. And like, it looks like there's only one other sort of entry that I've had up before called Glacial Erratics from 2020. So yeah, apologies to Mr. Sterling DeWeiss, but I really want to hear the rest of it. Like, it sounds like he's had quite a storied career so far, and we've just sort of tagged on to the end of it. But if you want to hear this, you can go to cardinalfuzz.bandcamp.com. We can go to ambassadorhazy.bandcamp.com. The album's called The Traveller, and we're going to play the opening track. This is Modes of Transportation. So from the pleasant fields of Ambassador Hazy, we're going to something a lot more kind of dark. The Lord is an artist that we've played before. It's Greg Anderson from Sun, as you might well know, Southern Lord Records, and the likes of Goatsnake and Engine Kid as well. He's put out a record before that we've played a track off called Needlecast, I think. And yeah, it was brilliant before. A lot of guests on that one. And the new record, Forest Nocturne, is out very shortly, sort of April 23rd, I think. So probably about the time as this podcast comes out. But yeah, the only track that he's released so far is called Triumph of the Oak. And it actually features Attila Kassar from the likes of Mayhem, Aberim, and a lot of collaborations with Sun over the years. I thought this was absolutely one of Attila's best vocal performances in years, like really croaky, strange. Sounds like he's delivering it from inside a bog or something. The music's very grim to go with it. Don't know what you made of this one, Pete. I don't know if you're a fan of that first Mayhem album with him on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It brings back memories of seeing Sun and that kind of infamous time we saw them live, you know, and there. So, and, you know, this Lord project's really interesting. You know, like the release we played before featured a member from Big Brave. They've had a guy from Alice in Chains on one since then. You know, it's really, like really going round into, you know, interesting artists to bring in. And this one, you know, it just really works, doesn't it? It's like you say, that the vocals are just incredible. You know, croaking is the only way you can describe it. You know, you said it, and I thought, like, it's no other way. It's slightly alien as well. It just has such a weird tone to it. And they kind of accentuate the darkness which are ushered in by the riffs. And actually, I sat and listened to it again, and if you just listen to the backing without the vocals, it's almost like Greg Anderson sat at home or in a studio just jamming along. Like, you know, it's doom, it's heavy, it's not, you know, it's light, but it's, you know, you can just imagine jamming that riff out, you know, in doom bliss. But then the vocals over the top of it just elevate it into something completely different altogether. It's something absolutely sinister. And yeah, I was really, really creeped out by it.
Yeah, I mean, he says he's kind of influenced by film composers like John Carpenter and Bernard Herrmann and things like that, which you can imagine, you know, like a horror film, you know, the sort of the mysterious forest building that's on the front of it could be the opening shot of a very sort of stylized horror film. And this could be the you know, sinister, strange intro to it as well. I'd love to see a film, you know, soundtracked by these guys. You know, if someone made a film that went with this, it would be perfect. So really exciting stuff. I really can't wait to hear the rest of it because, you know, if this is the only track with Attila on it, I want to see what he's done with the rest of it. So, yeah, if you want to hear this, you can go to thelordsl.bandcamp.com. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Or just check out the Southern Lord Bandcamp. But, yeah, we're going to play a song off the album Forest Nocturne. This is Triumph of the Oak. So from the slow, deliberate sort of strokes of Forest Nocturne by the Lord, we're going straight into something that we've kind of delved into before. So the label Nerve Alter put out an amazing amount of grindcore, like really interesting, unpleasant stuff, some live sessions as well. And we've previously played a band called Fed Ash, who've released on the label. And they've appeared again here on a four-way split with a band called God's America, another band called Begging for Oxys, and Reeking Cross. We're going to play the tracks from Begging for Oxys because it's just fascinating. It's 10 untitled tracks like put into one sort of fully formed whole, but I think we could have played anything from here. The first Fed Ash song on here is brilliant. I thought God's America were absolutely fantastic. Lots of samples reminded me of like Agoraphobic Nosebleed, their kind of Altered States of America sort of one where they do like 1,000 tracks or something in an hour. And yeah, just like it's absolutely full of, you know, that unpleasant, like bombs going off sort of sound of grindcore. I just loved it. And this label from New York are just like, they're masters of finding the best stuff, I think.
Yeah. And when, you know, when I saw it came out, I knew it'd be good because of the label. I saw Fed Ash on it. I really love Fed Ash. And you know, so I had jumped to their track straight away, which I shouldn't have done, but I did. And it's amazing, you know, really good.
Yeah.
And like you said, then I thought, right, there's three other bands to get into here, and all of it is, you know, it's opened me up to three new bands. I didn't play the Fed Ash one because we've played them before. One, you know, and this, you know, there was enough on here to kind of pick anything. But this one really kind of, it's just strange, and I like that about it. Really, there's an oddness to it. It's 7 minutes long. Says there's 10 tracks in there, but it works as a whole. You know, you could have, you know, maybe argued to cut it out, but I think it works. You could say, you know, it feels like, it doesn't feel like it's sellotaped together. It kind of runs into each other. And I love the approach of the band. It feels almost free form. You know, there's a lot of space in there and a lightness to it, which you don't fully expect on a, you know, on a raging grindcore split. But it is wild and it's dangerous with it. It's, you know, it's exploratory, it's inventive and engaging, and that's key. You know, it doesn't go off, you know, it doesn't go off kind of into its own, you know, into itself. It's still there, it still grabs you at every moment. And you know, we've said it before, but for me, the true measure of a you know, a split or a compilation is if you go and, you know, go searching for the material of the bands you didn't know prior, then it's done its job. And you know, I've been listening to the rest of Begging for Oxys, and you know, I've been looking at the other bands as well, so they've nailed it here in Nerve Alter.
Yeah, I mean, I just had a quick look, and Begging for Oxys have got like more than 20 releases to their name. Didn't realize they were from Toronto as well. So, yeah, really sort of like a real spread of things. I think God's America from Las Vegas, and Fed Ash, of course, from New York. Reeking Cross, apparently, it might have been made with kind of various guests and things. So, it's from all over. So, this is a fantastic release, and it's all been like packed together. Very well. They say like direct support is encouraged. So they said like, you know, please buy these from the bands if you can. But they've got 300 copies of this on vinyl. So I think if you're quick, you'll be able to get one. This is just brilliant. And yeah, I'm going to pay a bit more attention to Nerve Alter. I don't think we've played them for a while, but it's always really exciting when we do. So yeah, you can go to nervealter.bandcamp.com to hear this. We're going to play the collection of songs by Begging for Oxys. This is 16 cuts, 10 untitled tracks. We'll see you next week.